Well, today as we continue in our series, Real People of the Old Testament, and looking at men and women who have come before us, who have shown us through success and failure how to live the Christian life and how not to live the Christian life. We come to the life of someone that we're all very familiar with, Abraham. And I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, and we're going to look at the first six verses. Genesis 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. And then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you." So early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey and he took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up. He saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, then we will come back to you." And Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. This is a call for you and I to journey with God through the vehicle of faith, not feelings. And I think many of us, we want all the answers before we're willing to step out and say, "Lord, I'm going to do the things that you have called me to do." But there are many things that Abraham was not told here. He only had to be obedient to what God told him. And I think so often our disobedience is based on what God hasn't told us. But it's really about our obedience based on what he has told us. You see, we're told earlier in Genesis 12 that God spoke to Abraham when he was 75 years old. So if you're in that category today, this message is for you. In other words, you're never too old to hear from God. Don't get stuck in your ways. Be willing to follow God's way. And he calls Abraham at the age of 75 to leave everything that was familiar to him and to journey on by faith. "Go to a land that I will show you. Where is it? What's it going to be like? How long will it take?" These are the details that many of us want. And the question that I've had to ask myself many times in my life is, am I following the deity or the details? What's really motivating my life? Am I only going to be obedient if I have enough information to satisfy me? And so he leaves everything. The region, the religion, his relatives. And he journeys on with God. And I think so often in the Christian life, we think about all of what we're leaving instead of what we're gaining. We focus on, "But God, I've got to give up all these things." You see, the truth is, this was a call not from a region, not from relatives and religion, but it was a call to a relationship, not from, but to. What is God calling you to? Not so much from, although there are some things you're going to have to leave behind. You see, you can't stay where you are and go on with God. And I think that's what many of us want to do. We want to go so far in this relationship. We're willing to start by faith, but then pretty soon we settle. You see, Abraham and the call on his life is the same call for you and I that Christ called us to. What did Jesus say? "Follow me." See, Abraham left his past. The disciples left their boats and their nets. What is it that you need to leave? When he was 75 years old, God gave him an amazing promise. He said, I, through your offspring, am going to bless the entire world. That's a pretty amazing promise. Not just bless your family, but bless the entire world. I wonder today, do we want the kind of blessing from God that is so big it cannot be contained and it spills over into the lives of people around us? Or do we want the little small blessing of God that's really just a selfish blessing? Lord, just bless me. How big is your God? Are you serving a God that doesn't just want to bless you, but his blessing is so big you cannot contain it? Who are the people that you are blessing around you? Now, what's amazing about this, he's 75 years old. I don't know that if when I was 75, I'd want to have a kid. However, I've had three kids, or I have three kids. But what if I was 75 and I didn't? What if that had been the longing of my heart? Something that God had put within me, a dream that had never been fulfilled. Someone who I can invest in that could go on to the next generation and invest in them. And so this was his heartbeat. And at age 75, God said, here's what I'm going to do for you. Here's what I'm going to do in you and through you. And then nothing happened. And so 11 years later, at the age of 86, Abraham starts to doubt God. They start to laugh at the promise. You know what happens when we start to doubt God's word? We start to take things in our own hands. We start to come up with our own plans. I call it scheming. Have you ever schemed with God? God, I know you said this, but I'm not willing to wait any longer, so how about I help you out? Well, let me tell you something. If the God that you're worshiping needs you to help him out, he's not God. Are you willing to trust? Because if you don't, you're going to make the same mistake I've made, the same mistake that Abraham made, the same mistake that a lot of us make, and that is to start to trust in yourself. And you make life a mess for everybody else. Here's the reality. God's plans will bless the people around you if you'll be obedient and wait and trust. Your plans, if you're not willing to wait and be obedient, are going to hurt the people around you. And so what happens? He comes up with the world's dumbest plan. Can we just be honest? I don't know exactly how this went down. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. But somewhere there had to be a conversation with his wife. Hey, honey, you know how like the God thing, the promise, and it's not working out? I got a plan, babe. How about I sleep with your servant? How'd that conversation go? I'm thankful the Bible doesn't tell us everything. But I do know this, it affected her heart and his heart, and it ruined a relationship. But it went on to ruin relationships, and it's still ruining relationships today. But I love God. He didn't say, okay, fine, have your way. We'll just follow your plan. See, even if you doubt God, you disobey God, and you do your own thing, that doesn't change God's plan. There's still going to be an Isaac. And God will make a way. And so at the age of 100, 14 years after doubting God, 25 years of having to wait for the promise, Isaac's born. And the great question for myself, and I think for all of us as believers, is this. How long are you willing to wait on God? And maybe the greater question is, are his promises worth waiting on? That's really the issue. We are an instant gratification culture.
I want it now. That's why many of us are unhealthy, because we don't take the time to actually prepare and cook good food. Just grab something and throw it in the microwave. Why? Because I don't want to have to wait. But there's a consequence to that, right? And I've watched this over and over in my life. Every time I get in a hurry and I'm not willing to wait on God, every time I get ahead of Him, He loves me enough to say, all right, just run on ahead. You'll be back. But how do I come back? Hurt, broken, often with a shame, some guilt, some disappointment. That's not God's plan for your life. Let God set the pace. You keep up with Him. Stop trying to make Him keep up with you. So he doubted God. So what does God do here? And many of us read this story and we feel like God's a little bit harsh here. But God wants to reveal Abraham's heart. Because there have been times in Abraham's life where he fully trusted God and other times he didn't trust God. He stepped out by faith and said, I'll go to that land. And then he got fearful and he, well, just tell them that my wife is my sister because, you know, they'll kill me and take her. And, you know, he kept kind of to some degree coming up with his own plans. And every time it was a mess. And so God says, look, Abraham, I want to show you where your heart's really at. And so he gives him a test. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't like tests in school. I still don't really like tests. But we get tested for things, right? To find out where we're really at. I am thankful that there is a driver's license test. I'm glad there's two parts. I'm glad they actually take them out on the road and see if it's not just all theory, that they can put some of this into practice. Probably should be a marriage test. Just a suggestion. But we're going to look over the next 2 weeks at 12 what I call stress tests of the heart. Whenever you want to find out how the physical heart's doing, you put it under some stress. And then you find out what's really going on. And the Bible talks a lot about the heart. That's the core of who we really are. Chuck Swindoll calls it the womb of character. I love that description. And so we're going to take a look at winning through servanthood and what the heart of a servant should look like. And on your handout, you're going to see all of them. We're just going to cover half of them today, half next week. But I want you to have them all just in case maybe you're not here next week or someone's here next week that wasn't here this week. But as we look at these, there are always two sources. One attests, the other are temptations. God tests to bring out the good. Satan tempts to bring out the bad. And I think it's awfully good for us as people, as we're going through trying times, to say, is this a test or is this a temptation? Is this designed to bring out good or evil? It's also interesting to me that in school we learn the lessons to prepare for the test, but in life we have tests to learn the lessons. It's flipped. So as we look at the heart of a servant, the first thing that we see here is a servant is in a place to respond when the master calls. Notice God calls Abraham by name. He knows you. You matter to God. But what I love here is Abraham knows God. See, God knows every single one of you in here. The question is, do you know God? Do you have a relationship with God through His one and only Son, Jesus Christ? Has there been a point in your life where you have admitted you're a sinner and you have confessed your sin before God and you've asked Christ to save you from your sin? One of the most wonderful things is to be able to be assured that not only does God know me, but I know God. We're never exempt from the challenge of faith. This is the seventh time that God calls Abraham. Abraham knows his voice. And one of the questions that I have for myself and for you is, do you know the voice of God? Do you have the kind of relationship with God that when he calls you to something, you know this is of God? Now, most of the time prior to this, when God called him, it was to announce a blessing. And I like that. I love it when God says, Giles, and I say, here I am. And he says, I want to bless you. Yes, that's what I want to. We're on the same page, in the same book, same chapter. This is going to go great. But notice, this is not a blessing. This time the call is costly. This time the call is confusing. You want me to what? Yeah, I want you to go and sacrifice the promise. But God, that doesn't make sense. I waited 25 years. Why would you do this? See, there's so many questions that come up. You ever been in those moments walking with the Lord where it just seems confusing? And then you think to yourself, but if I really do what you're calling me to do, it's going to cost me. Don't be surprised if the call of God in your life at times is costly and confusing. Where are you at in your life? Are you in a place where you can hear God? Or have you allowed there to be so much distraction in your life that God can speak to you at any moment and you'll miss the voice of God? But not just in a place to hear, are you in a place to heed? Is your heart ready to receive the Word of God, regardless of whether it fits what you want, whether it's going to be pleasing or whether it's going to be costly and confusing? Is your obedience based on how you feel about what God says or on in faith on what He says? Second thing here, a servant has to make God the number one position in their life. Your son, your only son, Isaac, in whom you love. In other words, God's saying here, there's going to be absolute clarity on who I'm talking about get sacrificed. And he's putting his finger on the fact that Isaac was everything to Abraham. This is everything you've ever wanted. This is your dream. And I'm asking you to kill the dream. I'm asking you to kill the desire. I'm asking you to do something that just doesn't seem to make sense, but would you trust me with it? Where is your trust? See, I think God can bless us with things in our life, like Isaac's. And very quickly, we can become people who start to place our trust in the Isaac. In the blessing. In the promise. And not in the person of God. Here's the real issue. Is God everything to you? Is he the most important relationship in your life? That doesn't mean that you have to discard people or run over people or be mean to people. But here's the reality. When you put God first, you will treat people well. I think a third thing is a servant has to take the plunge to be all in. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Now, here's the thing about burnt offerings. That's total sacrifice. You can't have a half burnt offering. You're either all in or you're not. You either set fire to it or you don't. The Christian life is about sacrifice. Three words that I think are really hard here: take, go, sacrifice. But what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. It's about being all in. 40 years earlier, Abraham was called to sacrifice his present security. Now he's called to sacrifice his future security. Really? Wasn't it enough? Just my present security? Now you want me to sacrifice my future security?
I think one of the reasons that many of us are struggling in a walk with God as we watch this country change from values that were Christian values to a culture that just worships the world is because it's affecting a lot of our security. And what it's revealing is what we're really, truly trusting in. I think another thing is a servant chooses to please. They have to obey. One of my favorite verses in the Bible here. The next morning, Abraham got up early. Yeah, it's good stuff right there. That'll preach. I don't know how your night was last night. Did you sleep good? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, right? Sometimes there are things going on in our life that we're wrestling with God and the circumstances that we have all these questions and I don't know how well Abraham slept. I don't believe that he just said, oh, okay, all right, no big deal. I'll just go kill him and then we'll figure it out after that. I'm sure there was some wrestling going on. And you see that with many of the great men and women of faith of the Bible. They wrestled with God. But there comes a point where you have to get up and go. There comes a point where you have to make a decision. And can I encourage you, make it early. So often, we obey way later than we needed to. He gets up early. Now, it's interesting to me that God gave no explanation, just an expectation. I'll say that again. God didn't give an explanation, but an expectation. And what was the expectation? Obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. I wish there was. I wish we could kind of somehow skirt around this whole issue and just sort of be nominal Christians and half-hearted and doubting all the time. But at some point, you have to make a decision. Are you going to obey? Because the call to obey often comes before all the answers. That's called faith. I think another thing is that a servant makes preparations to obey. He chopped the wood for the burnt offering. He saddled his donkey. He took the servants with him. Getting up early. In my life, delay more often than not has turned to disobedience. You're either preparing or procrastinating. Which is it? If God's called you to do something and you haven't done it yet, are you preparing or are you honest and you're just procrastinating? Because that's called disobedience. Yesterday, a lady texted me. And she was, when we moved to the last church that I pastored for 15 years in Nebraska, she was the first person from that church that I met. And we had this big truck, and I rolled up this door, and there was a whole bunch of people that were ready to receive all the stuff and carry it in the house, and I was just trying to hand it out. And the first person in line was this lady named Kathy Arellano. She's a Hispanic lady. And I was like, I don't want to hand her the washing machine. I'm looking around, and everything's heavy, and so I grabbed a mop and a broom and a dustpan, and I handed that to her. And here's what she said. Oh, sure. Give that to the Mexican. And I was like, no, And she just started to laugh. And she said, Pastor, I'm kidding with you. Come on. You need a sense of humor. And she reminds me of that often. But her text yesterday was not a funny text. You see, her adult son lost his teenage daughter. Tragic situation. Couple months ago. And ever since, he's been spiraling out of control to the point where he's homeless, he has no job, he's into substance abuse. It's looking pretty bleak. And she said, would you just
pray. I know God loves prodigals. And he does. I'm one of them. And so I said, you bet, I'll pray. Well, most of you know I normally get up pretty early to prayer walk. Woke up at 2 a.m., wide awake. Eli's on my heart. Get up and go pray. But Lord, I really don't want to. I'm preaching. I've got these other things. Surely that's enough service for you. See how we start to justify and try to negotiate with God? Just get up early. Just do it right away. Because here's the thing. James says in 4:17, remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and not do it. And then he saddled his donkey. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but donkeys don't saddle themselves. Who knew? You actually have to go out there, and it was Abraham's donkey, so it was Abraham's responsibility, and he saddled his donkey. Now, saddles, Nancy knows this, they need to be adjusted and tightened. You go and put a saddle on a donkey or a horse, first thing it's going to do is stick its belly out. It doesn't really like that strap there. And you think, oh, it's nice and tight. Well, you got to leave it alone for a little bit and then come back when it's not ready and adjust it. And sometimes you got to put your knee in there and adjust it a little. Suck that gut in. When I was in college, I would go back to Africa. My brother was running a cattle ranch, and he and I went out one day. So in the summers, I'd go to Africa and work on this ranch. And we were going to go check on the bulls, and we saddled up our horses, and I didn't check. Got a little slack in there that I don't know about, little gap. And so we, as typical brothers, wanted to compete. So we start to race. Well, we weren't racing. The horses were racing, let's be honest. We were riding. They were racing. And as we're going around the corner, I'm in the lead, and I look over. God will humble the proud. You ever ridden side saddle this way? I mean, I got shot out of that saddle, and then it went under the horse, and they don't like that. And we got to bucking. I mean, it was a mess. And I think some of us, we have those kinds of lives because we've allowed there to be a gap, because we're not checking the cinch. He also took two servants and Isaac. Your obedience will influence people. Who are you taking with you on your journey of faith? And he cut the wood. Now, I cut a lot of wood, and I'm pretty certain Abraham didn't have a steel chainsaw. So this took a little effort. And then they took it with them on this 3-day journey. Now, I don't know about you, but I always try to think of the easiest, most convenient way to do things. And this is where I would have been tempted to say, you know, why don't we just cut the wood when we get there? That'd be a whole lot easier, right? Here's the problem. How do you know there's going to be trees where you're going? Because you don't know where you're going. You do know what's required for the sacrifice, and that's wood. And I think this brings up a point in my life that so often I want my worship of God to be convenient. I want it to be easy. I'm not willing to get up and to cut the wood, so to speak, which is to prepare my heart to serve God. See, the last thing here is a servant needs to be persistent. On the third day of the journey, he had to resolve to obey. He had 3 days walking with his son, looking at him going, man, my time with my son's growing short. Am I really going to go through with this? Am I really going to obey God? Living out obedience requires effort. The place of worship. We often wonder why God does things, but so often it's not just for us, but for future generations. And this place where he went is where we believe the temple was later built. Isn't that amazing? That this was going to become a mountain of worship. That Abraham was just going to be the first of many people to worship God. What are you leaving to the future generations? You see, your obedience, your trust and obey will impact the next generation, trust me. Don't give up hope. I think the easiest thing for us to do is to moan about millennials. I think the harder thing to do is to mentor millennials. Are you moaning or are you mentoring the next generation? Because at some point, they're going to be the ones here preaching, leading worship, giving of their time and their effort to support missions, making an impact in this community. We have to hand the baton on and hand it on well. So, a servant is in place. They make God the number one position. They take the plunge to be all in. They choose to please God. They make preparations. They are persistent. How are you doing on the stress test of the heart? I don't mean that in a guilt way, but are there any areas that have been revealed to you this morning where you go, okay, this is an area of my life where I need to start to trust and obey? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you speak to our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you. And Lord, help us to make our worship all about you. Lord, I just pray that if there are any of us here today that don't know you, you know us, but we don't know you, that today would be the day of our salvation, that we would call out to Christ, admit our sin, and confess. Lord, I pray if there are any of us today who are confessing Christians who maybe are not being obedient to you, Lord, would you help us to get up early, to make the preparations, to prepare our hearts, to say yes to you. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.